My name is Becky Wood, and I am so honored and privileged to come and bring the word to you this morning. So we're going to pray one more time because I need prayer. And let's pray. Abba, Father, open our hearts by the Holy Spirit. May we see that special relationship that Jesus has with the Father. May we understand that Jesus ever lives to pray for each one of us. May we understand that that's what's on his heart, is what we should be important in our hearts. We want to glorify your name in all that we do and say, and may you be blessed today in your name. Amen. Okay, so you've heard my friend Anne talk about context is king, right? So what I want to go back to is the one important thing is when we're studying in the Word of God, any Bible, any book in the Bible, is we want to make sure it's kept in context. Because there are so many people out in this world that call themselves Christians that pull Scripture out of context and they can make it say whatever they want. And we need to be careful with that. So we're studying the book of John. I know we're not studying the whole book of John, but I want to take you back. Why did John write the book of John? Okay, so what was his purpose in writing it? So if you turn to John chapter 20 with me, I love the scripture. He tells us right here in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, if you follow with me, he tells us why he wrote the book. Many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written. Oh, there's our purpose, right? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Isn't that awesome? The reason John wrote the book is he wanted us to know that Jesus is our Messiah, he's God, and that in believing in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we will have life, eternal life. Isn't that awesome? So we have to keep that in mind. And doesn't that go with what we're studying today? So let's pull it back in a little bit, right? We've been the disciples. Jesus was in the upper room. He celebrated the Passover with his disciples. We call it the Last Supper because it's right before Jesus goes to the cross. And as he celebrated the Passover, Jesus began to speak to his disciples, didn't he? Because he knew his time was now present. And he wanted to make sure they were taken care of. And so we saw how Jesus interacted with the disciples in the upper room. Judas Iscariot leaves. And the other 11 come down. And they come out of the upper room now. And they are walking. They are walking. And if you know anything about Jerusalem, it's on a hill, a huge hill, and there is three ravines in there, and they're walking down toward the Kidron Valley into the ravine, and then they will be walking up on the other side of the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives or to the Garden of Gethsemane. So that's their en route to the Garden of Gethsemane right now. And so Jesus begins to pray. And Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, didn't he? In the Lord's Prayer. This, they call, is Jesus' prayer to his Heavenly Father himself. It's often called the high priestly prayer. I feel like we're on holy ground today, looking at Jesus, his intimate prayer with his Father in heaven. And we can learn from that. So that's where we're going today. And I want to give you a little bit on that. Jesus prays to his Heavenly Father. It's a relationship that's so special and so intimate. He calls him the only true God in verse 3. He calls him Holy Father in verse 11. And he calls us Righteous Father in verse 25. So do you realize Jesus had that intimate relationship with the Heavenly Father? You and I can have that same intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. He wants that. Heavenly Father wants us to talk to him. He wants us to have an intimacy with him. And it's fantastic we can. The Bible speaks about us being in the hands of our Lord. The Bible speaks about the eternal God being our refuge underneath our everlasting arms. When we come to pray, we come to the Heavenly Father who has great compassion and great love for us. And we are so valuable to him. He wants us to talk to him. And when we become silent, oftentimes we can hear him. It's hard to do today, isn't it, to become silent? There's so much noise in our lives, isn't there? But we need that intimate time with the Heavenly Father. So we're going to look at chapter 17, and I know we talked about part of chapter 17 last week, but I want to see that the whole chapter 17 is Jesus' prayer to his Heavenly Father. And the cool thing is, we look at there, it's broke down into three paragraphs. Verses 1 through 5 is the Lord speaking his own personal needs to the Father. Okay? Verses 6 through 19, Jesus is praying for his disciples. And verses 20 to 26, which we're going to talk about next week, is the Lord praying for future disciples. Now, we're future disciples, aren't we? But we also can connect and relate to the disciples, and we can learn from them. So we're going to look at these passages, and then just pull your scripture verse open, and we're just going to go through them together. I'm going to read them, and verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. So Jesus is praying what? He wants to be glorified. He wants the Father to be glorified through him, doesn't he? That's his prayer. That's the prayer that he prays for himself. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to whom you have given him. So what had the Heavenly Father given Jesus? He'd given him all authority over all flesh. And in it, he gave Jesus the ability to give eternal life. Isn't that awesome? Jesus has the ability to give eternal life to all the Father has given him. And verse 3, it says, and this is eternal life. Okay, so we're going to find out what's eternal life. That they know the holy true God. That's one. Eternal life is that they know the one, only true God. And second, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So eternal life is knowing God the Father. He's the only one true God. And his Son, Jesus Christ. That is what eternal life is. Isn't that exciting for us? So, I glorify you on the earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And Sue talked about that, didn't she? How Jesus had accomplished all the work the Father had given him to do. Has the Father given us work? Yes, he has. My motive should be, just like Jesus' motive, to glorify God. That should be my motive. And my mission is to save the lost. See, the plan is, us as disciples, God didn't give any other plan, did he? He left his 11 disciples there, and then they spread out and became more disciples. And we are his disciples. The plan is, we're to save the lost. We're to speak out truth to those that don't know the Lord. That's God's whole plan. Kind of daunting, isn't it? So let's look. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I have with you before the world existed. And so I love the fact here that the Lord God and the heaven, and Jesus and the Father are one, aren't they? And they're glorified together here. And we need that in our lives. We need to glorify the Father. So looking at verses 6 through 19, that's where we're going to hone in on today. It says, I have manifested meaning made known. Jesus displayed God's character to his disciples. So I, Jesus, have manifested God the Father's name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. God the Father here gave the disciples to Jesus out of the world. Okay? Yours, the Father's, they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. I love Jesus' assessment of his disciples here. You know, we learn a lot in the Word about his disciples. They weren't perfect. Thank goodness, huh? But Jesus' assessment is that they have kept the Word. I hope Jesus' assessment of me is that I've kept the Word. And so he prays for them there. And in verse 7 he says, "Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you." So right here, Jesus is testifying to the fact that the disciples believed in Jesus and his divine origin as God. Isn't that awesome? Now, verse 8, "For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and that they have believed that you sent me." So they heard the words that Jesus spoke, which the Heavenly Father had given him. They received those words and believed them. That's what we need to do, don't we? We need to hear, receive, and believe them. There's more steps there than just hearing or receiving, isn't it? It's believing with all our hearts. And so, verse 9, it says, "I am praying for them." Look at that. Who's Jesus praying for? The disciples. Isn't that awesome? He prays for us. "I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me. They are yours." I love the security that we have in our relationship with the Lord here. John talks about that in John 6. And if I can find it on my notes. John 6, 37, he talks about, "All that the Father gave me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out." Is Jesus going to ever cast out any of his that the Father's given him? We're secure. We're safe in his care. I love that. I love that. We are so secure and safe. And the thing of it is here that all mine are yours and yours are mine in verse 10, and I am glorified in them. So what? Who glorifies God the Father and God the Son? His disciples. We glorify God. God is honored in our life. Is he honored in your life? Such a question for us, isn't it? And it's not what we do, but what he does in us. See, it's not about performance. This world is so performance oriented, isn't it? But this isn't about us. It's about God doing what he does in and through us. Okay? So it's not, we're not left on our own. And I love the fact here that Jesus prays intimately for each one of us. You know, I knew that Jesus was our intercessor prayer warrior, right? I knew that he took our prayers and he prayed them to the Heavenly Father. I didn't realize, don't ask me where I've been, but I did not realize how deep Jesus prayed for each one of us. And it just, it's just gives you such a peace and a joy, doesn't it? That he is praying and he cares so intimately about us. So that gives us, "All mine are yours and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them." I love that fact that we not only belong to Jesus, we belong to the Heavenly Father. There's one God and we belong to him. He prays intimately for us. So then in verses 11 through 12 is Jesus' first request, and it's for preservation of the disciples. You know, Jesus was going to leave. Jesus had led them for how long? They had followed Jesus wherever he went. He'd taken care of them, hadn't he? Okay, I'd be worried about him too. And Jesus is worried about him. And he says, "And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them," okay, "guard them, take care of them in your name, which you have given me." Why? Why does he want them taken care of? It says, "that they may be one, even as we are one." Jesus wants that. He wants those 11 disciples to be united. Do we need to be united today? Oh, I think about believers today, and we're all over the place, aren't we? Oh, if we could just unite believers today, as the Lord united the disciples back then, we would get so much accomplished for the Lord, wouldn't we? So then he says, while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So here, who's he talking about? He's talking about Judas, isn't he? And the fulfillment of the scripture is in Psalm 41:9. And I love the Hebrew idiom here that states he's destined to perish. Judas never was one of Jesus. He never was. He never believed. And he was destined for destruction from the beginning. And he fulfilled prophecy, didn't he? So we see that. But Jesus guarded them. He kept them. How comforting is that today for us? I think of a guard on us. And I think what great protection is a guard. And we have that protection from all kinds of things in the world, don't we? And verse 12 says, well, I read verse 12. So that's the preservation. Protect them so we can be one as he and the Father are one. And it's not about our performance. It's about the Lord working through us. So verses 13 through 16, we're going to look at Jesus praying for their protection. Verse 13, but now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. What's joy? You know, we can have surface joy. But when you have the Lord, you have deep down peace and joy. And it doesn't matter what circumstances you're going through in your life. The Lord can give you that joy that people don't understand. When my mother died, I couldn't be sad. My mom saw Jesus before she died, and she told me, I get to go to heaven today. And it was like, oh my goodness, I can't be sad for her. I'm kind of jealous. And then I had a sister that's an unbeliever, and she said, I'm so worried about you, Becky. You don't seem to be sad or upset. And I go, I'm not. She's where I want to be. And she didn't understand that, but she was so concerned about it. But no, I have the joy and the peace of the Lord within me. And each of us, when we're facing circumstances beyond our control, we need to rest in that joy and peace that the Lord can give us. Okay, verse 14. I have not given them your word. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So here, Jesus gave them the word, didn't he? And Jesus was hated by the world, wasn't he? Now, it says we're going to be what? We're going to be hated too. Well, why is it? Sometimes we just want to be loved by the world. A question for you to talk in your groups, and we had this in our lesson in the book. What can you do to become set apart from the world? Okay? What can you do to be set apart from the world? Verse 15, it says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. So, that's a blessing. We're not taken out of the world. Wouldn't that be something if we were? There would be no one to proclaim the gospel, would there? But he keeps us from the evil one. We don't have to do that on our own. We can't. Okay? We can't do it on our own. But the Lord working through us protects us, keeps us safe. He keeps us from the evil one. He prays that for us. And we need to throw our trust and our burdens on him. See, we're not of the world. We're not taken out of the world. We walk for the Lord in the midst of the world. We're in it, but not of it. Does that make sense? We're in it, but not of it? Okay. Because we need to share the gospel, don't we? We can't isolate ourselves because we're the only voice the Lord has left for his word. I want to read to you, and it kind of reminds me of Romans 12, 1 through 2, it says, I urge therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the will of God is that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. That's our service, to glorify God. Okay, in verse 16, it says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. In 2 Thessalonians 3, it says, the Lord is faithful who will establish us. He is faithful. He will strengthen and protect us from the evil one. So we do not have to fear the evil one because we have a guard on us, don't we? And Jesus' third request is chapter 17, verses 17 through 19, sanctify them. Sanctify them. What does sanctify mean? Set apart, purify, cleanse, dedicate to God, apart from corruption, the work of God in us and through us, not of ourselves. Okay, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The word of God cleans us. It's reality. It's fact. Psalm 19, 7 through 14 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Judgments of the Lord are true, righteous altogether, more desirable than gold, sweeter than honey. By them thy servant is warned, in keeping them great reward. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Okay, so we need to be where? In the word. Right? It's the only thing that keeps us clean. Have you ever noticed, and maybe it's just me, but in my life, when I'm in the word, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. When I miss being in the word, I'm all over. I've lost it. I've lost my foundation. I've lost my solidness with the Lord. And he keeps me in tune when I'm in the Word. Now, Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Do you memorize scripture? I met a woman that had 6 books of the Bible memorized. Not verses, 6 books. She was amazing. Well, and just say, well, I don't memorize. I'm not good at it. You know what? We can start. We can start small. It doesn't matter how big that memorization is. We need to hide the Word of God in our heart because it comes up when we need it, doesn't it? And are you growing? Are you growing in the Word? That's how we grow, in the Word of God. Verse 18, it says, as you sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world. I love John 20, 21 says, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. So Jesus passed the baton on, didn't he? The Father sent Jesus, and after Jesus' work was done, Jesus sent his disciples on. And now we are sent, aren't we? And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. So truth is what keeps us clean. Truth is what sets us apart from the world. That's what we need, that truth, don't we? And then in verses 20 through 26, we're going to talk about next week, and it's Jesus' part of the prayer for future believers. And he prays for their unity, their fellowship, and their love. And we're going to do that next week. And so, okay, how does this relate to my life? Okay. Do you know that the God of the universe, the one who created everything, controls all, wants a personal relationship with each one of us? Wow! Do you know you belong to God? Our Lord guarantees he prays for you. Who better to pray for you than the Lord God himself? Jesus prays for preservation. He prays for protection and sanctification for each of us. Jesus prays his purposes in our lives be fulfilled, that our lives truly glorify God. See, we don't hold on to him. He's holding on to us. I always thought I was trying to hold on to God. No, no. That's not the picture. God's got us. He's holding on. And his grip is so much better than ours, isn't it? He's holding on to us. He's not going to let us go. Okay? It's not but about what we do. It's about what he does in us. That's so freeing, isn't it? I love that part. Do you realize this relationship is better than any other here on earth? It's better than knowing famous people, meeting actors or heads of states. We have security in the Holy Father. He protects us. He cares for us. We are kept by his power. It's not our performance. Thank you, Lord. The Lord protects us from the evil one and sets us apart from the world. Jesus prays, we are set apart, purified, cleansed, dedicated to the Lord. Why do we keep to continuing to get wrapped up in the trappings of this world? Why don't we belong? Why do we want to belong to this world? Stop trying to fit in. God's praying we're set apart, and we're just trying to pray would we fit in? It's the opposite. We need truth. God's word is truth. Not the internet, not the news, not all the books that you read. It's the book, the Bible. That's the only truth we have. And this word should be a daily staple, just like food is for us. It cleans us, it restores us, it grows us. May we be about our Father's business. May our motive be to glorify God. May our mission be to save the lost. And for you moms that have children, your lost is your children. Okay, it's not osmosis that they learn to be Jesus' children. We have to teach them, don't we? Okay. Don't let the world or any circumstances rob you of the joy in the Lord. May you cling to his joy, his peace and love today. What's holding you back? What's holding you back? I want to end with Philippians 1, verses 3 to 6 and 9 to 11. It says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.